You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today's April 16th, 2018. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast, and well, boy have I had a rough week. Not a rough week so much, but a very busy week, 2 weeks actually, at my day job, so it's been a little hectic. Really looking forward to recording this cast today. I mean, I was actually looking forward to it all week. It's something that I actually have a passion for and enjoy doing, so I mean, it's just fun to do it. Sometimes when you get to the everyday grind of work and just getting kind of busy and stuff like that, it gets a little bit to the point where it's a little hectic. It's nice to come home and do something that you really like to do. And, you know, I really enjoy doing this podcast. So, yeah, my day job's been kind of crazy. I actually got, in the last couple of weeks, got to go to a real radio station and use some real equipment or see it. And I was really shocked on how the equipment was not much different than what I use at home. I was really, actually, I'll be honest with you, I thought I was going to see something more technological or more advanced equipment, but it really was very similar to what I use at home. I'm sure it isn't. I just looked it. But, yeah, I got to go to a radio station. Really interesting. I'll be doing actual TV commercials, so I get to see that equipment too. For a charity event that we're doing at my day job, and it's a really great event for little kids. It's for the Little Smiles organization, and we're really, really stoked about it. It's been something I've been planning and working on for about 4 months now in my work, and it's going to take place this Thursday coming up. So if anybody's in the Palm Beach area and you want to attend or something, just let me know. You can send me an email, my email, and I'll talk to you. You know, that's other than shaving stuff. Yeah, I do a lot of other things too. But enough about all that small talk. Let's talk about what's going on in the show today. So today I have some news that I really don't want to deliver. I'm going to be completely honest with you. The Old Town Shaving Company has decided to, well, Damon over there, the owner, has decided to close up shop. He's retiring or shutting down that aspect of his business. And, well, we're going to say goodbye to it. And it's very dear to my heart, this place. I'm going to tell you why when we talk about it in the show. It's going to be a long segment because it's something that really, really affected me when I heard it. You know, I heard that they were closing and I was just really like, wow, this stopped me. It's one of the first things that I've heard about wet shaving that stopped me dead in my tracks and got me kind of like, whoa, you know, this kind of stings a little bit. Training tip of the week is going to talk about, do you need a brush cleaning soap? Is it necessary to have a brush cleaning soap? Everybody seems to be coming out with them. We'll talk about that if it's important to clean your brush with a special soap. Also, discussion of the week will be the Rockwell Model T. It looks like this razor might be coming out, guys. It might be coming out next month. It's going to come out in August, but you have until May 1st to buy it at the reduced price because it will be going up more than double. So you're going to take a look at that. You won't want to miss this segment either if you're interested in this razor. And product review will be Derby Blades. And are they good for mild razors and yet bad for aggressive or not as good as for aggressive razors? I'll tell you all about my experience with them as we get to the product review session of our show today at the end. We'll talk about what's up with the cast and what's coming up in the future. So guys, you don't want to miss the show. And without further ado, let's get on with it. All right, guys. So this might be a few minutes that we're going to talk about this. This is something that's really dear to my heart. Very difficult to talk about. The Old Town Shaving Company has decided to close. It's a brick and mortar shop. If you don't know of it, that's located in Pasadena, California. That's Southern California. And about actually a year ago, almost to the day we're talking about a year, almost exactly a year ago, as this podcast is coming out, I was able to attend the Big Shave West 3. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Town Shaving Company, it's held the first three Big Shave Wests, right? And now they have the Big Shave East, which is happening actually 30 miles south of where I live. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it this time. You know, for some personal reasons, I will not be able to attend. But you know, last year I did. So last year I went to the Old Town Shaving Company. I traveled from Palm Beach, Florida, and I went all the way down to Los Angeles. Flew in, went to Pasadena, and stayed for exactly 24 hours. I mean, it was a very quick trip for me. I flew in, got there around 1 or 2 in the morning, and I ended up leaving at 10 o'clock at night the next night because I had to go to work, the day after. So I really could only stay for the event. But I can tell you right now that was probably the best memory I have of wet shaving today. I got to go to that shop, and you know, I've never really been to the West. I've only been to the West Coast a few times of the United States. You know, mostly in wine country. I haven't really gone to. So that was the first trip to Southern California for me, and I got to meet a lot of the people that I talk to on a daily basis via email and you know, text message and stuff that I've never met in person. And what the Big Shave West 3 did for me was it made it real. It kind of made wet shaving real, and it made it boosted me to keep going with this podcast and writing and reviewing and really enjoy the hobby, because I got to meet so many great people at this event. And it was like, you know, when you kind of talk to somebody online and you see them and you know you talk to them, even if you do video chat and stuff, it's not the same as if you get to see them in person. And everybody was so passionate. And this store, the Old Town Shaving Company, is really where it brought everything together for the last 3 years. And you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm very glad that I went last year, because it was very hard for me. You know, I do work a lot. Everybody knows that. We talk about that all the time. And I do have a family here. And it's difficult for me to leave my wife and my family to go to a shaving event, right? And to go all the way to California. But you know what? Last year I talked about it. You know, I was talking to Douglas Smythe. I was talking to a couple other guys. And they were like, you know, you got to make it to this. This thing's amazing. It does make it real for you. You know? And I got a flight and got a hotel, got a rental car. I took all care of it. My wife was all about it. She's like, yeah, go. You know, you've been doing this for a long time. You really enjoy it. And it's a hobby I've been doing for almost 10 years. So she's like, I thought you were going to quit it in the first year or so and just forget about it. And you've just keep going on and on and on about this thing. And it's been one of your hobbies that you've kept. I want you to take this trip. So I came all the way to California by myself on a Spirit flight. So it was pretty horrible. That flight was horrible. That was the worst part. But it was worth it. I got there, and even though I could only spend the day and I couldn't stay, you know, with the after party or the before party barbecue or anything like that, I did get to see and meet everybody, even if briefly. And more importantly, I got to meet some wet shavers that were really a fan of the podcast and a fan of you know, stuff that I did for the community. And I didn't realize that until you get to see somebody in person, because you get an email here and there. And emails are good and nice, and I really enjoy them, but they're not the same as seeing somebody in person. And when I got to do that, I kept it real. And I'm like, you know what? When I got home from that long trip, and on the plane ride home, I thought about it and I said, wow, this is a really special event. I'm never going to miss one again. You know, I'm never going to miss this place. And unfortunately, I won't be able to go to the Big Shave East for personal reasons. And actually, it's being held 30 miles from my house. I won't be able to attend. But, you know, I do have the Big Shave West 3. And that all happened at Old Town Shaving Company. So, I mean, wet shaving to me is more than just buying razors and blades and soaps and, you know, messing around with that kind of stuff and getting drops and trying to, you know, wait on, you know, clicking on a Wolfman link to try and see when it's coming out and, you know, the BSTs and all that stuff, all the forums, all talking about guys and, you know, talking to people. It's about really about the connection I've had with people. And it's about the friendships that I've made and the many friends that I've made and friends that I've lost over it. You know, it's a passionate thing. And there's a lot of things that are going on in the wet shaving world that aren't fair and aren't nice. But you know what? All in all, it's pure and it's nice and good. And that experience, you know, brought it to me and made it real for me. Even though I've been wet shaving for years, you know, it really made it something that kept me going, really. And to find out that this store was closing, it made me realize that, well, there's not going to be another Big Shave West there, right? And I won't be going there again. And, you know, that one place that we, it was there, and I was kind of looking forward to going to it again, because I was like, oh, you know what, if it happens in Pasadena again, I'm going to really try to go, because, hey, that's a great place. It was a great town, great area, great people. And, you know, it's not going to happen. So I'm sure I know a lot of the guys that I've met there and that are, you know, patrons of the store are probably feeling the same way I am. They're a little bit upset, you know, but you know, we understand that Damon, the owner, and his family have other ventures out there, and you know, sometimes it's time to say goodbye. So it's, even though it's tough and everything like that, it's a great place, guys. If you do live in Southern California, or you know, even within a couple of hours, make the trip and go there and look around and just look at a wet shaving shop, because it was set up beautifully. You know, wood floors, everything, racks. It was huge. Compare it, well, in wet shaving world, it's huge. right? It's not, you know, a Macy's or anything, but it was a big store for wet shaving. And they had a lot of products, a lot of good stuff, their own brand of stuff. You know, I did make a purchase on their website. I bought one of the Old Town shaving brushes just actually right before I'm recording this, just to make sure that I had a little piece of it, you know, with me after they're gone. So I just bought it, a synthetic brush, you know, just to have, and I'll use it and stuff when I remember it. And, you know, that's something I was looking forward to getting. So, I mean, it's really cool. I'm happy I got it. Even though it's something, you know, a little, something I don't really need it. I just got it because it's, you know, Old Town shaving. So, I mean, that's my story about it. If you guys have any other stories, you know, feel free to email me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com, and I'll definitely share it on the web, on the next podcast. So, goodbye, Old Town Shaving. You guys have been great. A lot of great memories in that building when I went there, and I made a lot of good friends there too. So, and I got to, and it really kept Wet Shaving real for me. So, we salute you, Old Town Shaving, and good luck to everybody involved in that company and that business. I hope that you guys are safe and you know, healthy, everything's good, and are going to have a good retirement. So, again, we salute you, Old Town Shaving. All right, guys, the Model T is coming out. That's right. What? Model T? No. The Rockwell Model T update. We have an update on the website, right? It looks like this razor is going to be out possibly in the next few months. Now, here's the thing. The design's a little different than what I remember. It's not the it's not stainless steel, right? And it's also, well, it's going to go up in price. Now, I'm going to search around on my computer right now. I'm sorry. I thought I had it up. Usually when I do this, I have them up. And I didn't today. I'm just clicking it on Google. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the actual Rockwell site. Now, I am a fan of Rockwell. Okay, I think that the young guys that run this company have done a lot of homework, a lot of work. They've gone through some struggles and they fixed it and they've done right. So I'm going to say that the razors that they have now are awesome. I have a Rockwell Model 6C. And I'm thinking about getting the stainless version and possibly getting the Model T. I got to make the decision here in a couple of days, and I'll tell you why. There are going to be three different finishes. Apparently, it's a white chrome, gunmetal, and brush chrome. Okay, it's not going to be stainless steel like I originally thought it was going to be. But the price right now is $99 for the pre-sale, and it's going to go up to $195 as of May 1st. So if you're going to do this and you want to buy it, now's the time to do it. You could save about 50%. After May 1st, it's going to be, that's it. It's going to be $200 almost. Estimated ship date is August. So when you do this, I know a lot of you guys out there have already bought this probably 2 years ago, a couple years ago, and you have pre-ordered and you're ready to do it. And it looks like the finishes are going to be the same as the 6C, the 6C version. So it looks like the same finish. You're going to have the gunmetal, the brush chrome, and the white chrome. And it looks like it's going to be twist open. So that's going to be the first twist open adjustable razor that we've seen in modern times. There's a lot of time behind this razor. These guys have put a lot of work into it. I'm sure they spent a lot of money developing it. And we're really excited to see what happens with this actual razor. And I'm so excited that I'm probably going to get in on it. All right, I'm probably going to do it. I haven't yet because, you know, it's been a long time. But, you know, Rockwell, the 6C, and I've tried the 6S. They're awesome. They shave great. And for the price, you really can't beat it. You see other razors out there for $400 or $500, right? I mean, this razor is nice. Now, the only thing that I could see happening to Rockwell is, could it be a day late and a dollar short? And what I mean by that is that, could it be too late for them to come out with the adjustable razor because other companies have? Now, you've seen Rocknell's has one. You see the Rex has come out. Now, Rex is that's a different type of razor from Razor Emporium. It's based off that Gibbs razor, the French razor design, which is a great design if you've ever held one or used one. And I think that the pricing wise, because the Rex is stainless and other parts, and it's also made in the USA, it's going to have a lot to do with it. Now, I'm not sure if these are made in the USA. It doesn't say anymore. So I'm not sure if the Rockwell is made. It does say it's designed in Canada. But look, we got to be realistic here. I mean, if it performs well, who cares where it's made, right? But I mean, made in the USA does have a lot to do with it. It does say a lot. And people look for that. So, I mean, that might have something to do with the price. So, I mean, the Rockwell has got a lot of competition. The original prototype, when it came out, would have been one of the only adjustable razors out in the market. I mean, this is before the Parker came out. So it would have been a big deal. I think now it's going to be it's coming into a difficult market. I think we've all known it's been coming out, and we're all going to, a lot of us are going to buy one, but the collectors are going to buy one. I don't know how many people are going to buy them that are, you know, I'm a one-time Razor, and that's it. I want one Razor. You know, I know a lot of collectors. A lot of us, we have like 40 Razors or 50 Razors, and we buy whatever's new, and then we and then some of us sell it online or keep it or trade it or something like that, right? If we don't like it. So we'll see what happens. I am in full support of Rockwell. You know, I'm really excited to see what happens with this Razor. Congratulations to Gareth and team on what you guys have done with this company, because you've gone from really prototypes to coming out with some great stuff. And I know you guys have a fan base that's, you know, maybe 100,000 people now. Who knows? Big fan base. So really looking forward to it. I have not used the prototypes, so I don't know much about them. I will look for some more information online about it, but I haven't used one, so I really can't endorse or not endorse it. But I am looking forward to seeing it. So, Rockwell, we salute you as well, because you came out, you have actual shipping date of end of August or around August, and you know, we wish you the best of luck with every with all your endeavors, and hope this Model T comes out soon. Can't wait to get our hands on one, because let me tell you, we're waiting, and we are happy to see that we have some actual, like, you know, some news about it. So, Rockwell, we salute you. All right, guys, and a training tip of the week. All right, do you need a brush cleaning soap? This is something that everybody has. I have a couple brush cleaning soaps too. I've tried them. And here are my thoughts on it. Do you need a brush cleaning soap? Well, you probably don't. But do you need a Badger brush or a synthetic brush? Or do you need 40 brushes? No, you probably don't. So what the brush cleaning soap does is, like, oh, here's a question I had from an actual listener recently. And I'm going to change the subject a little bit. He goes, "Why do I need a brush cleaning soap if I use my brush and soap?" I said, "Good question." So I went and asked a couple of people, and they said that the soaps that are made for brush cleaning are a little different. They're made with a little bit more like a detergent based, which actually cleans and scrubs the actual inside of the brush. Now, could you use shampoo? Yeah, I've used shampoo. I'm not too crazy about it. I don't know if it does anything. I've used regular soap and stuff like that. But the brush soap does seem to clean it out. It gets that funk out. Gets that, like, stuff that you don't realize the buildup that happens, like, in the middle of it. Could you get it down with clean water? Yeah, you could. Could you live, you know, a normal life without one? Yeah, you could. Because, honestly, how many years none of us had one of those things? You know, a lot of people have been using makeup brush cleaners. They probably work good. You know, they work well. But yeah, the brush cleaning soap is definitely something that if you're an enthusiast, you want to keep those brushes really, really clean. They bloom open. Yeah, they do work. I've tried it. And what it does is it really opens up the hair. It cleans up all the particles of all that stuff. And to be honest, it's probably more for people that don't completely rinse their brush out. Now, a couple of my friends I've noticed, they are really, really adamant with this. I was very abusive to my synthetic brushes because I didn't care. You know, they're not cheap. They don't fall apart. Really, you just leave it out, whatever. My Badger brushes, you know, I'm a little bit more careful with them because the hair is, you know, it's real, right? And you don't want it to fall apart because they're expensive. So I noticed that with the synthetic brush, it really doesn't make much of a difference because I think because the fibers don't really, you know, obtain all of the junk and gunk. I think you can probably clean it with just regular soap and water or just rinse it out and you'll be fine. I think with Badger brushes, I noticed a little bit more of a difference with it cleaning. I noticed a little bit more of a bigger spring, a bigger bloom on the brush. And after I've done it, after you let them dry out, and they do appear a little softer. So would I recommend it? I probably would. So here's the thing with the brush cleaning soaps. Do you need to get one? No, you don't. You don't need to get one. I don't notice that much of a difference to where it's going to be the end of the world if I don't have it. But should you keep your brush clean? Yes. And I'll tell you how to do that. Rinse your brush off till you, when you squeeze on it, just and very gently squeeze on it until there's no soap coming out. And then just fling out the water until it doesn't, no water comes out. No little splash or anything comes out of it. Right? No water. Then hang it upside down to dry, and I guarantee you your brush will last longer than any ever if you do that. Now, the brush cleaning soap, yes, it does clean it and everything like that. But if you're a little lazy and you don't do that with your brushes, then yeah, you're going to need the soap. But if you can keep them clean, I've kept my brushes clean. I've kept them not clean. And I noticed that if as long as I keep them clean, they're fine. If you want to get a brush cleaning soap, hey, be my guest. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to benefit you. if you don't keep your brushes clean. But if you keep them clean, pretty sure you'll be all right. I know a lot of guys that don't use them. I do know guys that do use them. Nothing against or not against them. All right. So all in all, keep your brush clean. Remember that hint. Remember that tip to where when you fling out the water, rinse it off. Make sure you thoroughly rinse it with cold water, and then fling it out until all the water's out. Hang it upside down, and you'll be good. You'll see the bloom on the brush come back. Brush cleaning soap, definitely a must if you get a used brush, right? You want to clean it out, get all that other stuff out of it, or a vintage brush that you want to restore, or you want to keep that knot. I would try that out as well. So brush cleaning soap, do you need it? Well, we already went over that. Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no. All right, guys. So Derby blades. Okay, we're going to talk about Derby blades. I like Derby blades, but I don't like them in aggressive razors. And I'm going to ask you guys, the viewers, listeners, what do you think? So email me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. And let me know what you think about Derby blades, because I want to actually hear about it. So Derby blades are a pretty standard blade. They're cheap. They're not expensive. I think that they're pretty. They're not extra sharp, mild. They are, and they're mildly durable. They're just an all around decent blade. I've been using them for a long time. I do use them for testing razors for some reason. I don't know why. I just always did. I feel comfortable with them. But I can tell you right now that I love them in Gillette razors, right? And Gillette twist open razors, they're great. In Gillette three-piece razors, they're great. In mild razors, such as the Rockwell 6C, if you use the level 3 or 4, right, plate, it works good. But when I put it in like my 0.74 Wolfman, nah, doesn't work too good. In my Blackbird razor, no, doesn't work too good. So anything that's really aggressive, I notice that the sharper blades, for some reason, really appreciate that extra gap. You know, I got to test a BBS-1 from a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Frank. He lent me his BBS-1, which was very nice of him to do so, right? That razor is almost unobtainable. You can't get it. Can't find it. I'm trying to get one. I can't find it. You know, it's insane. He let me borrow it, and I tried the Derby blade in there. Got good results. Decent. I tried a feather blade in there, and I couldn't believe what happened. It was awesome. It was unbelievable. It was a mild razor, even with the larger gap, but the mild razor sharp was great with the feather blade, but it had a really aggressive gap. This razor threw me off. But then when I take the same blade and I put it into a more aggressive razor, say a Wolfman with a bigger gap, right? Ugh, horrible. Or if you put in a Gillette and you put it on like an 8, no good. The Derby just doesn't do very well. But you put a feather in there, for some reason it's really sharp. I guess what I'm trying to say is that the higher quality, the sharper the blade, the better it works with the aggression. With the exception of the BBS-1, because that thing threw me off like no tomorrow. I don't even understand this thing, how this works. But the gap and everything is perfect on it. So Derby blades, like we said in the beginning, are they bad for aggressive razors? Yeah, I don't think I would use them. I noticed that Persona Red, Persona Platinums, even the Blues seem to be working very well with aggressive razors. But feathers are the way to go with an aggressive razor. I guess an aggressive, sharper blade for aggressive razors works. What are your thoughts? Let me know what you think, because this is something that I never really thought about until recently. And I noticed that with this BBS-1, this thing's just been throwing me curveballs all day long. And let me know your thoughts, because I really want to know what you guys think about these Derby blades or milder blades in general, because I'm baffled by it, and I think that we might be on to something here with this. So let's see if that's true. If you find that sharper blades are better for aggressive razors, let me know via email. And if you find that, you know, it doesn't make a difference, you don't notice anything, let me know that too. I want to know what you guys think, and I'm going to talk about it on the next show. All right, guys, so that's the end of the PAP podcast today. We'll be talking about some other stuff coming up in the very, very near future. I will be going out of town, but I believe I will have one more podcast before, and I'm going to say this right now, should not affect what's going on with the podcast. So I should only be gone for a couple of weeks. It's going to be right in the middle, so I coming back when the next podcast comes out. I should be able to do it. If not, we might skip a week or have another show or something come on during that time. But we'll see what happens. We'll talk about that in the next show, because I will definitely do the next show. All right, guys, if you have not taken a survey, I left it on. I kept it active. The SurveyMonkey website, it's a survey regarding the podcast. Let me know some feedback and all that stuff. If not, you can also email me with some feedback, and I'll be more than happy to read it and get back to you as soon as I can. And remember that our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for everything that he does for the Watch Shaving community and letting us use his platform at his site, Sharpologist.com. And most of all, guys, you, the listeners. Without you, there would be no podcast, and wet shaving would be a drag. So don't forget to check out my wet shaving blog at shavestraightandsafe.com for tips and interesting wet shaving stories. And please feel free to contact me at any time at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Remember, I have a YouTube channel too. It's being active. I made a couple videos recently. I've got another one in the works. And I left the show notes, I left the link for you to check it out. So guys, our next show will be April 30th, 2018. I look forward to seeing you then. Until then, shave straight and shave safe, everyone. Goodbye now.